showers during the day, the high at 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 26 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, good morning, everybody. It's New Year's Eve, and Chase Brumfield and I are celebrating by doing a radio show. How about that? We're in here in the studio because you know why? That's our job. And we got Alabama and we've got Indiana in the Rose Bowl tomorrow out in what is going to be a wet Pasadena, California. It's going to be raining heavily in the morning. They're going to have the parade regardless, the Rose Bowl parade, but it won't be that usual sunny parade that you're used to seeing. It's going to be raining and most of the heavy stuff is supposed to be out by in the morning, but still, the field could be wet. But you know what? They're both going to be out there playing tomorrow. Welcome into the program, the Gary Harris Show. As I said, Chase Brumfield with me. We're here the next couple of hours talking sports and more on the Big Tide 100.9 FM. Got a good show on tap. I'm going to run it down. Just a real quick thought, though. The SEC, it just means more. Unless it's, I guess it's what they call meaningless bowl games. Is the SEC going to win a bowl game? I mean, I know they won, if you want to count the college football playoff or whatever, but I don't think the SEC has won a bowl game yet outside of the playoff. Tennessee got beat last night by Illinois. I think the Big Ten is just dominating. So take it for what it's worth. Hey, man, I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying. I'm sure the SEC spin, though, will be, well, our teams didn't want to be there. You know, they were disappointed they didn't make it in the playoff or whatever. But so far, it's been, whew, been rough for the SEC. All right, this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you as always by Alabama Credit Union, your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union. Find out the advantages of member-owned and not-for-profit. They are numerous. Go to alabamacu.com to get more information or stop by and see them at one of their 38 locations around the state of Alabama and one in Northwest Florida. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today. And feel good about your money. And put extra change in your pocket for 2026. Great show on tap. Wyatt Fulton, Tide 100.9 FM brand manager, host of the Deep South College Football Show, is in Southern California. So he can also give us a weather update. So I texted Wyatt and let him know that I want him on my show today. So he's going to be on at 9:30 this morning to give us the latest from Southern Cal as the Tide gets ready for the Rose Bowl. Not only football updates, weather updates, media vibe, how nice is the hotel, all of those things. We'll get the scoop from Wyatt Fulton at 9:30. Then at 10 o'clock, Christy Curry, head coach, 14-0 Alabama women's basketball. The best start in program history. But now it gets ratcheted up, and it don't just get ratcheted up a little bit, Chase. You know where they're going tomorrow. Columbia, South Carolina. To play the number 3 South Carolina Gamecocks. The power. The arguably the most dominant program in women's college basketball over the last, what, 7, 8, 10 years since Don Staley established. They're right there in the conversation. No doubt about it. So it's been a good run up until now, but we'll get Coach Curry's thoughts on opening SEC play and having to do it on the road at South Carolina. Then at 10:15, D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons report, moving up a day because we're not going to be here tomorrow on New Year's Day, so he moved up to 10:15 today. And the Falcons, listen, they're on a roll. Now, they're not going to the playoffs, but you wonder why we didn't see this Falcons team the whole year. I think they won 3 in a row. They beat the Rams. Kirk Cousins has been looking good. I'm going to ask him about, will the Falcons consider keeping Kirk Cousins with Michael Penix's knee situation now? 3 ACL surgeries. And rehabbing right now from one. And listen to this. If you did not hear me earlier in the week, the Falcons, if they beat the Saints on Sunday, Chase, the Panthers are, even if the Panthers lose on Saturday, the Tampa Bay Bucs, Falcons could still put them in the playoffs if they beat the Saints. Because remember, the thought process was, well, the winner of that Tampa Bay-Carolina game goes to the playoffs as the NFC South champion, but that it was before the Falcons went on this run, and the Panthers, they have a game lead on the Bucs. So if the Bucs win, it would be a tie. And if the Falcons lose, the Bucs would win the tiebreaker after splitting with the Panthers. But if the Falcons win, because the Panthers swept the Falcons. So there you go. How about that? Speaking of the NFL, it was a bad day to be for the Diggs brothers. I don't know any other way to put it. Stephon, all-pro wide receiver for the Patriots, is facing a felony charge of strangulation and a misdemeanor charge of assault from an alleged incident on December 2nd. His brother, former Alabama star Trayvon Diggs, two-time Pro Bowl quarterback of the Cowboys cut him. What I understand is that when they were up in Washington, and he's been hurt a lot, but when they were up in Washington, he wanted to stay up there because they're from that area, he and Stephon, after the game. And normally, I think they played that on Thanksgiving. That was a Thanksgiving Day game, I want to say. Normally, teams will allow players to do that if they have a couple days off, which they did. Schottenheimer, the head coach of the Cowboys, Brian Schottenheimer, said, no, not going to let you do it. Not going to let you do it. And they went back and forth about it, and evidently Trayvon got upset and said, well, I'm going to fly back to Dallas and turn around and fly back. But it must have been pretty bad because Cowboys said, you're out of here. How about that? So Diggs brothers, not a good day. All right, it is 9:13. We've got phone calls already lined up. And let's go ahead and we got Mary's been on hold for about 14 minutes. Corey's been on hold for going on 13 minutes. Let's go ahead and take Mary over in the ATL. And then we will take a break and we'll come back and get Corey on or anyone else. 205-342-9904. 205-342-9904 is the number on the Gary Harris Show hotline. New Year's Eve. Plus, let me know what you got on tap for your New Year's Eve plans. You know me, Chase, you probably figured this out about me. It's amateur night. I will not be participating. Yeah, too much stuff can go wrong on New Year's Eve. Too many people out that don't ever get out. Too many people consuming too much alcohol. Too many people that put other people in harm's way. At this point in my life, I don't want anything bad happening to me on New Year's Eve. So I will not be participating. I'll meet Mary in my own little way. But I'll be very careful how I do it. All right, let's get to Mary in the ATL to lead us off this morning. What's up, Mary?
Good morning. How are y'all?
Doing great.
Good. Yeah. Well, I'll be working today, so I get off at 4:00, and more than likely by the time I get home, I'll be ready to pass out and go to bed.
I hear
so
you.
I'm with you on the amateur night and probably try to watch a little bit of ball tonight.
I hear you.
Feeling good. Finally got taken off of my medical restrictions for work, so all is good. Back to full duty today.
Awesome.
Yep, dealing with concussion number 2 has not been fun. I got hurt the day before Christmas Eve, so it hasn't been fun dealing with that, but all is good. I saw something very interesting. I was kind of scrolling last night on social media before I went to sleep, and I was on TikTok, and I saw a video that Indiana posted, and I have to give my props to them, even though I am not part of their clan of fans. They have a lot of respect for Alabama. And I saw a video last night to where somebody in media was asking them, you know, who is your favorite Alabama player? And they were going back to the era that I grew up in, because I feel, like I've always said, I feel kind of spoiled that I grew up in the Nick Saban era, you know, the greatest of all time, one of the best coaches that Alabama's had. They were mentioning players like Tua, Derrick Henry, Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy, and they were going back. And I really have to give my props to them. They definitely have great respect for our dynasty. And I feel like they know who they're going up against. So I feel like in return, we should also show respect for that program because we've never faced them before. I mean, this is probably going to be the most important Rose Bowl, I feel like. Big anniversary celebration of our first appearance there. So I just got to give my props to them. I mean, they showed a great deal of respect and admiration for Alabama last night.
Well, that's good to know, and I'm not surprised by it. Kirk Cinetti, who is a very confident, some would say almost arrogant type of coach, but he spent several years here with Nick Saban. I think Nick Saban is who he kind of bases his coaching style off of. And he has, you know, so it's a different type of situation for him. This is not one of these teams that he has, you know, like you said, a bad attitude toward. He has shown a lot of respect to Alabama. And I'm not surprised by that at all. And why wouldn't you? You know, it's one of those things where if you're Indiana, even though you're having a lot of success traditionally, you've been a bottom feeder, and now you're playing one of the big names, maybe the best brand in all of college football. So I'm glad to see that they're doing that too. I think that's the right way to approach it.
Yeah, I've definitely got to give them my props. I mean, and I have to admit, you know, I was listening to audio from yesterday's press conference and all of that other stuff and stuff from Monday. Kane Womack has some really good points about, you know, in a way trying to force takeaways. And I just have a feeling that, you know, if we can try to force turnovers and, you know, just if Ty can just keep his out-of-pocket runs going and all of that stuff, you know, if we can just really have a good punch-in-the-mouth run offense on this game tomorrow, I have no doubt that, you know, we can try to at least take control early and maintain a good lead and have good possession time. I feel like we definitely have what it takes to do that. And I feel like, you know, in my thinking yesterday, I feel like I'm going a little bit overboard, but that's just how confident I am with my score prediction. I'm going to be bold and say 38-27. I feel like I'm going a little bit out there, but they always say trust your gut. And that's what my gut's telling me.
Well, that's what you got to go with. And you've got a pretty good instinct, so I like your pick. For people that are wondering, I picked it on Tider Insider TV last night. Bama 24, Indiana 22. And I'm saying Connor Talty kicks a game-winning field goal as time expires. How about that?
That would be fantastic. Well, I'm going to get out of y'all's way. I know y'all have other people waiting. Y'all have a great day. And if case I don't talk to y'all this week, Happy New Year's to everybody. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, Mary. Yep, we need to get to our first time out. But when we come back on the other side, more phone calls. We got Corey and Trustful. We got Steve in Tuscaloosa at 9:30. Wyatt Fulton from California. Gary Harris Show, New Year's Eve. We should have brought in a little. I should have brought in some party favors. Should have brought in a little, some hats and some little whistles and Chase and I need to be celebrating. I'm going to celebrate, though, in just a minute with a Pepsi Zero Sugar. How about that? We'll be back after this.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good New Year's Eve morning. December has seen the passing of three longtime Tuscaloosa County leaders. A celebration of life was conducted for 68-year-old former legislator Alan Harper yesterday. A 10 a.m. graveside service is set for this morning for 90-year-old former Northport Councilman Sam Fawcett III at Williamson Cemetery. And funeral services for 85-year-old former State House member Brian Melton Jr. will be conducted at First African Baptist Church on January 10th. I'm Don Hartley. Happy New Year.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three.
Eat. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
George Michael, 1990, Faith. It was a great video, too. You know, he was not in the video because, a little backstory on that, and we'll get the phone calls. You know, he had success with Wham. He had success as a solo artist, but he wanted to change his image. Did not like the way that he was being portrayed as a, you know, pop star, and he wanted to be a more serious guy. And, you know, he told the record company that, and you know, as kind of a protest, he did not appear in that video. Remember, he had all the supermodels in that video. It's a great video, by the way, that song. What is the name of the song?
Freedom.
Freedom, yeah, Freedom. Because he had that song, Faith, you know, that was more poppy. But, yeah, Freedom was an intense song and a great video. All right, we got phone calls. Corey and Trustful, then we get to Steve in Tuscaloosa here on the Gary Harris Show. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Doing great, man.
You know, you said on your prediction that Connor Daughtry would make a field goal to win the game. I can only imagine Alabama fans watching that in real time and seeing that happen. And before it would happen, the confidence of Alabama fans about that actually happening.
Do what now? Say this again to me. I'm trying to...
I said, if what you said is true, as far as making the prediction of Connor Talty making the game-winning field goal, I can only imagine the Alabama fans' confidence of that actually happening.
Yeah, I know. And again, it probably won't come down to the last-second field goal, but I thought it'd be a neat way to win the game. But yeah, if it comes down to that and Talty's out there to kick the game winner, you're right. I mean, a lot of Alabama fans, you know, squeezing each other's hands really tight. But he's been good lately, man. He's really been good. So I'd love to see
it. The only way I see it happening, if it's a real short field goal.
Oh, I don't know. Like I said, I got a little more confidence in him maybe than most people do. I like the way he's been kicking lately. And for the most part, I like the way he's kicked this year. You know, he's had a couple, you know, misses and all. But I think that, I think he's going to kick really well in the game.
Would you like for it to be touchdowns?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, listen, I'd love to see Alabama just go out there and explode on them. You know, I'd love to see the Tide scoring, you know, first five possessions with touchdowns. Absolutely. But you know, getting points any way you can get them is good. So if he does have field goal opportunities, I feel like he's going to have a good game. But just my opinion.
Yeah. You know, you were talking about the SEC being disappointing so far outside of the playoffs. And, well, okay, the Houston LSU game, that was kind of, I could see that coming. Tennessee, Illinois, I kind of see that as that's no excuse to lose that because you're in your home state. And that was kind of a bad loss to the SEC. Let me think. The other one was, what were the other ones, Gary, outside of the playoff?
The bowl games.
Yeah.
Well, Missouri lost. Tennessee lost. Everybody that's played in a regular bowl game has lost.
Yeah, Missouri. I thought Missouri would have beat Virginia.
LSU lost.
Yeah, LSU lost. Now, I do think Vanderbilt will beat Iowa. I think that'll happen. And then I'm trying to remember. I don't know about State. I don't know about that one. That's kind of a 50-50 one to me. Of course, we'll have a winner regardless in this playoff game at Georgia. And I know one will win and one will lose, but they'll cancel each other out. But I just – now, I know people will say, well, Big Ten's winning or was is 6-1 and now, but really – some people will care about it, some people won't. I mean, really, at the end of the day, whoever wins the national championship, that's really what's going to reign, going to count as conference supremacy. Would you agree?
You know, I don't know. It depends a lot of different ways. Yeah, certainly the national champion, whatever conference that team comes from, that's going to be the biggest caveat and thing that people hang their hat on. But, you know, it's a body of work, too. So we'll look at it overall. So, but, Corey, give me – I know you did yesterday, but I got to get to another phone call. Give me your score prediction again.
I'm going to go 24 to – 20 Alabama, I think if we can get to a good start, I think that'll help us out a lot because we can't go down 14-0 or something like that.
You're right.
I think that's just asking too much for Alabama this time.
Well, they need to get off to a good start. I agree with you there, buddy. All right, have a great new year, Corey. Appreciate you, man, okay? Thank you very much. All right, let's get to Steve in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Gary. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. And listen, I do so enjoy Mary's calls. That girl's on top of it. There ain't no bigger fan of Alabama on this show than her. And I just love it. She's got good insight.
Yeah, she's one of my favorite callers, too. Absolutely.
Yeah, she's good. Gary, I may be late to the party on this, but after hearing everything, all the movement that's going on down there in Auburn, it sounds to me like Free just pretty much let the inmates run the asylum down there. Goas comes in there and says, not so fast, my friend. Is that what's happening down there now? Do they have enough to field a team yet?
Yeah, they'll go into the portal. I mean, you know, I'm not going to be an Auburn apologist by any means, because this is, you know, they've lost, I think, 40-something players that are announcing going into the portal. And I don't think that was what Golish's plan coming in. At the same time, you saw Kurt Cignetti come into Indiana 2 years ago. He brought a bunch of players from James Madison, and look what they've been able to do. And so they'll be able to replenish in the portal. So it's a year-to-year endeavor now in college football. Having said that, certainly, I mean, they've been gutted. And, of course, the Auburn fan is going to tell you, and I, you know, if I were an Auburn fan, I'd say the same thing. They're going to say, well, who cares? We hadn't had a winning record in 4 years. I mean, they're going to spin it to their favor. But they've lost a lot of good football players. At the same time, the new head coach has to establish a culture, has to establish what he wants to do. And yeah, if this had been – you know, a few years ago, and you'd have been just devastated. You could even probably have fielded a team. But they'll go heavily into the portal. They've got money to spend, so they'll replenish their roster. I don't think they're going to be a major factor in, you know, the SEC next season, but it's probably not as bad as it appears to be, because, it, you know, it's a bad look. I'll give you that. But in the modern day of college football, man, it's just a different way of building teams now. And they'll have a chance to get some good players.
Well, do you think any of this goes back? And I'm not, you know, I don't, one way or the other, it's not any, you know, skin off my nose. But is Freeze responsible for this stuff, for this, you know, this exodus down there? He was letting these little divas get away with stuff. And
certainly that's what a lot of Auburn people are saying now. They're saying that, you know, a lot of these guys were catered to and overpaid. And so I don't know. You know, all you can do and granted, I get it. If you're an Alabama fan right now, you're like, man, we've beaten them 6 in a row. They've got another new coach. They're having to restock their roster. Things look a lot better in Tuscaloosa than they do in Auburn. But that guy will have to have he'll have to have an opportunity to see what he can do, Alex Golish. I do think he's a grinder. Will he be successful there? I have no idea. I mean, like you said, they're trying to climb uphill right now. But I think while the player defections look horrible, you know, it may not be as bad as it would appear based on what they're able to go into the portal and get.
Well, just based on what I've been hearing, I'm almost starting to feel bad for all.
I know you don't, Steve.
Don't,
you know better than
you
that.
You might want to delete that on any little preview or future cast. But one last thing, Gary, have you heard, where's your boy Travis Ryer these days?
He's down in Jacksonville, Florida. He's back down there where he's from with his family and doing great. Yeah. And you know, I think he does still, he and Chase Goodbread do a podcast, and I know he just has some social media presence, but I hadn't talked to him in a while, but stay in touch with him to some degree, and I know he's doing terrific.
Well, I tell you, Gary, I picked up on this network for you guys when it was the kid and the guru. That was great stuff, man.
Appreciate it.
That was great stuff. Hey, great. Gary, have a great new year, brother.
Yeah, happy new year, brother. Good to hear from you, Steve. All right, we're going to come back with Wyatt Fulton from the Los Angeles area next on the Gary Harris Show.
Mind, call the Tom Hanna Agency today for a quote at 205-462-8192 or visit alphainsurance.com/TomHanna
today.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available.
Tuscaloosa Tractor, Castaway Fish Co., Crimson Pride Hunting and Fishing, Precision Armory, Junction Grocery, Urbans, Military Surplus, R Us, and Adams Heating and Cooling.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily
options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
Yes! Roll Tide all the time.
This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC,
the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
On this New Year's Eve edition, a little Sweet Home Alabama, because the Crimson Tide are ready to roll tomorrow afternoon in the Rose Bowl, granddaddy of them all, Rose Bowl Stadium in Pasadena. I've been there before. I'm not there this year. But our main man, Wyatt Fulton, brand manager for Tide 100.9 FM, host of the Deep South College Football Show. He is there in Southern California covering the game for Tide, and got the big coaches' press conferences coming up in just a little bit with Signetti and DeBoer, the last media function prior to the game. But he is with us this morning from the Los Angeles area. Good morning, Wyatt. How are you?
I'm good, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Man, good to have you on. I'm excited to get all the scoop from you out there covering the game. First, let me start with the weather forecast. What's the latest? I know the Rose Bowl tournament of Roses Parade hasn't had rain in 20 years. I think it's been like 70 years since the game was primarily dealt with for rain throughout the game. What's the latest on the forecast?
Latest forecast is that it's going to rain pretty heavily in the morning, but it should be cleared out by 1 o'clock Pacific time out here, which of course is when the Rose Bowl will kick off. There'll be a couple of spotty showers, but for the most part, it's looking like right now we will avoid the majority of the rain during the actual Rose Bowl game.
That's good. That's excellent news. What about the field? Any idea on how they've been protecting it? Because I know they've had a lot of rain out there in Southern California. What's the expected playing conditions for the field?
The field, it's a lot drier out here in California than it is over there, you know, in Alabama. So even though they've gotten all this rain, the field's not going to get muddy, right? Whereas in Alabama, if it rains a lot and then you play football on the grass, well, it's going to get really, really muddy. Out here in California, it's so dry that the grass has already soaked up all the rain and it's perfectly fine still. So it's not going to be muddy or anything like that. So it should be, for the most part, pretty good field conditions. May need a couple of different cleats for maybe your wideouts and your cornerbacks, but everybody else should be relatively business as usual.
Good. Well, that's good to know. I want to ask you about the fan situation, because for Indiana, this is almost virgin territory for them. I mean, it was only their second Rose Bowl ever. These fans aren't, you know, although it's their second year in the college football playoff, they got knocked out last year in the first round. They're hungry for more. They're number one. They're unbeaten. And for Alabama fans, this is kind of old hat. I know Alabama fans are thinking, well, if we win this one, we're in Atlanta for the next game. Are there more Indiana fans than Alabama fans out there, Wyatt, from what you've been able to tell?
From what I've seen, there's a lot more Indiana fans out here so far. Now, granted, I mean, a lot of people are coming in today. A lot of people were coming in last night. But yesterday during the day, and from what I've been able to tell, there's a lot more Indiana fans here. And it's like you said, right, this is uncharted territory for a lot of these fans. So, Alabama, if you win this game, you go back to Atlanta in a much cheaper stadium, much cheaper city, much cheaper travel costs. So I think a lot of Alabama fans are kind of holding off, saying, okay, if we went out into Pasadena, we'll turn the Peach Bowl into a home game against either Oregon or Texas Tech, but got to get through Indiana first.
You've been around the players for both teams, the press conferences. One thing I've noticed just following the press conferences and watching the sound bites, why it is that Signetti you know, very confident. Some people would even say arrogant. I think he felt like when he went into Indiana, he had to make a statement. He had to let people know we're not going to be pushed around anymore. And in some cases, he has come across as a little cocky. But with Alabama, he's, from what I've seen, he's shown nothing but respect. I think the fact that he spent, I think it was four seasons with Saban here, is I think if I remember correctly, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And you can tell by, you know, what he said that he bases his head coaching philosophy on, you know, what he learned from Nick Saban. Of course, his father, Frank, and Coach Saban were good friends. And there's a level of respect for Alabama when I listen to Kurt Cignetti talk that maybe he doesn't have for other teams that he's faced.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, Cignetti's got the ultimate respect for Alabama. Now, that doesn't mean he's afraid of Alabama. You heard him yesterday, the mystique of Alabama. Hey, his team doesn't know about that. His team just knows the Alabama team that has put up, whatever, 13, 14 games to take this year. So, but he's got a lot of respect for Alabama. And that's something that Cignetti has kind of had to do, right? He had to come into Indiana and say, look, they've got to be arrogant. They've got to be cocky so that they believe that they can do it. So if I'm cocky, they'll get cocky. We'll start winning football games. And now Indiana's at the level that they need, or that Indiana fans, coaches, and administration are at the level that they need to be when you look at the success that they've had the last couple of years.
What about the Bama players? Again, I'm not out there wide. That's why I was so anxious to have you on. And, of course, we'll hear much more from you at 1 o'clock on the Deep South College Football Show. But I get the sense, listening to Ty and other players, of course, it's hard to be an underdog when you're Alabama. I mean, that's like the Yankees trying to be an underdog, or, you know, the Lakers. You know, this is a brand. But they're playing that we got a chip on our shoulder card, it seems to me. You know, they are underdogs in this game. And a lot of the national media is saying, you know, not only will Indiana win, I think Indiana is going to win handily. Is that the sense that you're getting from the players, that, you know, we feel like we got something to prove, we got a chip on our shoulder type of mentality?
Absolutely. I mean, Tim Keenan addressed it yesterday. Ty Simpson talked about it. I think even Bray Hubbard mentioned it as well. There's not many games out there, Gary, where Alabama comes in and Alabama's the underdog, where Alabama comes in and Alabama's the one with the chip on their shoulder, and they're the ones that are not the one seed. You know, you don't get many football games where Alabama is the doubted one on that field. So if you can use it and take advantage of it, I see no reason not to. They did in Norman, Oklahoma, and they put together a 17-point comeback en route to a 10-point win. You can do it against Indiana as well, who is a good football team. I don't want to take anything away from Indiana. They're really, really good. They've beaten some high-quality opponents this year when you look at Ohio State, Oregon, and then from a talent composite standpoint, Penn State is up there as well, although the coaching was not at that same level. But, no, there's not many games where Alabama comes in and they're the underdog, and I think they've really embraced that mentality in this game.
All right, I want to ask you about the Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback, Mendoza. He seems like a class act. He seems like he is and we know what kind of player he has been this year. Now, granted, this was a unique year. There would have been a lot of years that his stats would not have stacked up to what we've seen from quarterback play. Same thing with running backs this year. But he is the Heisman Trophy candidate. What has been your impression of Mendoza?
He's a great dude. He's real smart, real down to earth. I mean, he had to be smart. He started his collegiate career at Cal. But really smart, really down to earth guy. Really, really nice dude. He's just a good dude to be around. And so I think that's why you've seen Indiana kind of rally around Mendoza a little bit. And I mean, character is something that they should look at when you look at the Heisman Trophy voting. I believe it's in the criteria that they look at. So Mendoza was my winner, even though I'm not a Heisman voter. He was my winner coming out of conference championship weekend. And so I think he was a good dude. He's a good guy that got the award.
All right, I want to ask you, Wyatt Fulton with us from Southern California, previewing the Rose Bowl. Join him at 1 o'clock for the Deep South College Football Show here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. I want to talk a little X's and O's. Let's start with Indiana's offense against Alabama's defense. And it seems to me, and I want to get, you know, I'm curious what you think and kind of what you're hearing out there, that, you know, Alabama's primarily a zone team. We know a lot of times they play eight guys in coverage, rush three. Every now and then they'll rush four. They might, you know, blitz on occasion. But against Oklahoma, that wasn't working very well. They made some adjustments. They played more man-to-man. They brought more pressure. And in the second half, they got to Mateer. It appears to me, Wyatt, that if you let Mendoza stand back there and survey the field, I don't care how many guys got in coverage. If you give him time, he's going to find the holes in the zone. He's going to hit guys. Those receivers are excellent. I feel like Alabama's going to have to pressure, going to have to play some man coverage. What's your take on that?
You're absolutely right. I mean, this Alabama defense, they've been so good all year long getting pressure once they finally do decide to bring a couple of extra guys. And this is a defense that had 19 pressures against John Mathier in Oklahoma, what, a week and a half ago. And now they're adding LT Overton back into that roster. So you've got to be able to get pressure on Mendoza. If you don't, like you said, Gary, he's going to sit back and he's going to be able to diagnose your defense and he's going to light you up. Now, getting a little bit of pressure on him, he makes a lot of mistakes, made a couple of mistakes in that Big Ten championship against Ohio State. Penn State got a ton of pressure on him in their matchup with Indiana, and he made a lot of mistakes in that game. So by no means is he perfect. Nobody is in college football. But if you can get some pressure, play a little bit of man coverage, I think Deontay Lawson needs to have a big game here. And I wouldn't be shocked if you see a very heavy rotation at pass rusher because you need those guys to be able to get pressure. So you need them healthy. You need them with fresh legs going into late third quarter, early fourth quarter, when Alabama could potentially be needing a defensive stop to stay in a football game.
On the other side, Alabama's offense against Indiana's defense. And again, the thing about this Indiana team is they're so balanced on both sides of the ball. Offensively, they can run it. They can throw it. Defensively, they can stop the run. They're pretty good against the pass. Excellent pass rushers. But they're not the biggest defensive front. And even though their statistics against the run are excellent, and I know Alabama can't reinvent yourself this late in the season, but Wyatt, you know, the zone schemes, the perimeter runs, I would love to see more downhill running. I really would. I'd love to see, you know, Jam and Daniel Hill and that big offensive line, they're huge, other than Brelsford, who's a little undersized, but is an excellent player. I'd love to see him try to get downhill with the running game and then work play action off of that with Ty. Is that something that you think that we may see more of an attempt to be a little more physical in the run game against Indiana?
I would love for that answer to be yes, but no. Alabama can't run the football to save their life right now, so I think you have to lean into what's working for you, and that is Ty Simpson in this passing offense. I'm not saying abandon the run, but run it enough to keep them honest, but let's be realistic, Gary. Bama's not going to rush for 100 yards in this game against Indiana. At least I don't think they're going to. Now, if they do, if Bama comes out and runs for 100 yards, I think they win this game. I don't think Bama's coming out and running for 100 yards on Thursday. So, but looking at it, lean into what's working so well for you. And Indiana's such a well-balanced team, but Ty Simpson's faced a lot of great secondaries. Georgia was a top 10 defense when they faced Alabama. So was Missouri. So was Oklahoma both times. And so looking at that, Simpson's had success against some pretty high-level defenses with some really, really dang good pass rushers. And so I think he's got to stay in a rhythm. If you can get Ty Simpson into a rhythm early, let him establish, hey, I can do this against this football team, then I think you'll see Alabama have a lot of success. And you going back to the Oklahoma game, no rhythm whatsoever to start the game, finally hits the third down to Lottie Brooks, gets in a rhythm on that drive, and what did we see Ty Simpson do the rest of that football game?
He's outstanding.
Yeah.
Wyatt Fulton with us from Southern California. Let me ask you about the kicking game because there's so much talk about Connor Talty, but he has really kicked the ball well down the stretch. And in the Oklahoma game in Norman, Alabama, you know, after having all kinds of kicking game issues in Tuscaloosa, were excellent in the kicking game. So you think that's kind of a wash here, or do you see one team having the advantage over the other?
I think special teams is pretty much a wash. Alabama has not been great on special – not great. They haven't been good on special teams pretty much at all this season. But since he got booed in Bryant-Denny Stadium against Eastern Illinois, Connor Talty hasn't missed a kick.
And right.
Part of it is that Alabama's not putting him in these high-pressure situations. They're kind of giving him – they're kind of putting him in the spot that he needs to succeed, right? Down the middle of the field, inside of 45 yards. That's where Connor Talty's kind of been his best. But even in a windy night in Norman, Oklahoma, that wind was whipping down there at Gaylord Memorial Stadium in Norman, Oklahoma, and Talty still did a really good job. And so I think special teams is a wash. Alabama's punt unit, not the best in the country, or not the best in the country. So punting, maybe Indiana's got an upper hand there. But I do see field positioning being a big part of this game against Indiana.
Coaching staff-wise, of course, Alabama's got a lot of familiarity. A number of their coaches, including Kalen DeBoer, Kane Womack, Sheridan, coached at Indiana. Mm-hmm. Cignetti coached at Alabama. Do you give one coaching staff the edge over the other?
I've watched a lot more Alabama this season, obviously, than I've watched Indiana-wise. But I will say I would give the nod to Indiana on the coaching staff perspective. Not to discredit Alabama's coaching staff, but you look at what Indiana's got. They've taken a bunch of three-star players from James Madison, a couple of transfers here and there, like a Fernando Mendoza, and they've got them playing at an elite level. They're competing with Indiana's the 72nd ranked team in talent composite. They've beaten Ohio State, who's a top five team. They've beaten Oregon, who's a top 10 team. They've beaten Penn State, who from a talent composite standpoint is still a top 15 team. So Kurt Cignetti and his staff has got players playing above their means versus Alabama. They've got all the five-star talent. They've got all the talent in the world. And so not to discredit the job that Kalen DeBoer in Alabama's done this season, because I think he's done a really, really good job based on the hand he's dealt that, you know, Bama can't run the football. Ty Simpson was in a midseason slump and the injuries that they've dealt with. They've done a phenomenal job. But Kurt Cignetti not only keeping his guys healthy, but then taking those guys and having them play above their means to be in this situation, I give the nod to Cignetti and that staff.
All right, Wyatt, media buzz-wise, you've got an Alabama media corps, you got an Indiana media corps. What's the interaction been like? The Indiana media, are they confident? A lot of them – media that I've seen from Indiana on social media, which is not necessarily the more traditional media outlets. What's the vibe from the Indiana media corps out there?
Both media outlets are confident. The Alabama beat, you know them all out here, Gary, or you know all the guys that are out here, Gary. They're very, very confident in that, hey, this is Alabama. Like, Alabama should not lose to Indiana when you look at the historical aspect of these two teams. So Alabama media is confident, but so is Indiana media, because they say, well, Cignetti's now got everybody at the level that they need to be. I've mentioned the cockiness, the arrogance, whatever you want to call it, out of Kurt Cignetti. The beat has kind of accepted that, and they've accepted, hey, wait a minute, this is not – Indiana is a good football team. They deserve to be in this spot. And so Cignetti did that a lot last year, kind of trying to get everybody to be cocky and arrogant with him. And now this year, he was mad when they barely beat Penn State. I mean, he's – embrace the Nick Saban coaching style when you look at, you know, we beat a ranked team, yay, let's move on to the next opponent. Or we looked like dog crap on the road against this opponent, still won, but now I'm going to yell at everybody. He's embraced that Nick Saban mindset. And I think the Indiana media has taken on kind of the mindset of the early Nick Saban days at Alabama. You go back to the guys who were on the beat in, you know, 08, 09, 10 for Alabama, and this Indiana media has kind of embraced that same mindset that the Alabama media did when Saban was first there.
All right, lastly, Wyatt, when I was out there for the Rose Bowl, I thought they did as good a job as all of these college football, or going back to the BCS, college football playoff games, they all do great. But I thought the Rose Bowl was as well run as any that I've ever been to, and the way they treated the media was top notch. What the accommodations have been like? What's it been like from the Rose Bowl standpoint of being a media member out there?
My only other reference point is the ReliaQuest Bowl last year, so it is a night and day difference. Rose Bowl, like 10 out of 10 in comparison to the ReliaQuest Bowl, who wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't miserable in Tampa, but, you know, Rose Bowl's been a lot of fun. They've treated us very well. I got a Rose Bowl hat, so that was pretty cool from the media swag stuff. Mm-hmm. So been a lot of fun out here. The media lounge has been a lot of fun getting to hang out. And
yeah, those things are great. Usually food been good. I remember they fed us. They feed you a lot. You know, you've done so well with your weight loss. You know, when you get back, you're going to kick it back in, because you know you're going to put on a few pounds while you're out there.
Oh, most definitely.
Eating all the time.
Most definitely. They fed us so many different meals and snacks, and it's like, golly, man, I got snacks just sitting in my hotel room right now.
It never ends. The eating never ends.
Didn't realize I had, yeah.
All right, Wyatt, what's your prediction? Are you holding it for your show? If you're holding it for your show, that's fine.
We're going to do game predictions on my show today. All right, as well. I do have Alabama winning this game. I think this is a game where Ty Simpson and Alabama continue to kind of be in that rhythm that you've seen out of the Oklahoma matchup. I've got Alabama 27, Indiana 21. A little bit tighter of a contest, but Bama defense gets a big stop when they need it. Ty Simpson leads the game-winning drive.
All right, I know you're looking forward to the head coach press conferences, and everybody tune in at 1 o'clock. It's a while to be back live from Southern California. Thank you so much, Wyatt.
Appreciate you, Gary.
Appreciate you. Our 954, we'll take a timeout and come back and wrap up hour number one right after this.
2 years of oil changes, only at the family-owned number one volume Nissan dealer in Alabama. And here's the best part. You can get pre-approved in minutes with no impact to your credit. Visit townsendnissan.com today.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages.
Math really. More equals more with Straight Talk. Available at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Taxes and fees apply. The $25 plan requires a compatible unlocked device and a new line of service. Additional terms apply.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm-up today with a sunny sky, the high 51. Tonight clear, not as cold as recent nights, the low 32. For tomorrow, sunny with a high at 58. And Friday, cloudy with a chance of developing showers during the day, the high at 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 34 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Oh, my.
Streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
The force, it's got a lot of power, and it makes me feel.
Oh, yeah, good song. Let it kick in. All right, well, we got to go, though. 9:58, wrapping it up for hour number one. Brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Another hour on the way. We'll get it tipped off. I'm going to say tipped off because we'll be talking with Christy Curry to start off hour number two, plus D. Orlando Ledbetter, and then plenty of time for phone calls. Also try to get some of that audio from Ty Simpson yesterday out in Los Angeles. Hour number two, the Gary Harris Show is on the way.
Tickets before it sells out right now at tuscarts.org. That's TUSCARTS.org. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two, The Gary Harris Show right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. I'm Gary Harris, Chase Brunfeld alongside. We're going to break away from the Rose Bowl talk for just a few and talk some hoops with Alabama head women's basketball coach Christy Curry. The Crimson Tide has rolled. Historic start to the season, 14-0. But now it's time for conference play. Alabama opening on the road tomorrow afternoon in Columbia against number 3 South Carolina, then coming home on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock to face Arkansas. And Coach is with us this morning to break it all down. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Good to have you. What a start to the season. 14-0, historic beginning, and we got SEC play on tap, as I said, beginning tomorrow. But let's talk about what you were able to accomplish in the non-conference portion of the schedule. To line them up 14 times and knock them down with W's, that's got to be really satisfying for the players, the staff, and the coaches.
Yeah, you know, it's a great start, especially we dealt with some injuries, you know, had some key folks out a little bit and have some other folks step up. But we've got, you know, our schedule's in a good place, our net's in a good place, top 30 in the country. And so headed into SEC play, you're sitting right where you want to be. But again, that's behind us. And mm-hmm. Our only focus is in what's in front of us. We feel good about what we've done, but we've got a lot to look forward to do.
Yeah, what's in front of you is an incredible challenge. I mean, you're talking about with Don Staley in South Carolina, they're in the conversation for the most dominant program in college basketball on the women's side over the last 10 years. You open at their place tomorrow afternoon, and it's a huge challenge.
Oh, without a doubt, you know, and I think from an analytical standpoint, they're better at this point this year than they were a year ago. And we all know what they did a year ago was really special. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a tough challenge, but one that I know our team's going to embrace. And, you know, we look forward to an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to go and compete and, you know, see what the final score says. We played them pretty close here at home a year ago, you know, and stumbled late in the fourth, mm-hmm. You know, and that was without SA. So we'll put ourselves in the best position we can from an analytical scheme standpoint and see where it takes us. Excited for the opportunity, though, Gary.
Christy, you mentioned battling through some injuries in the non-conference. Going into SEC play, where do you stand with the roster in terms of, you know, health?
A much better place than where we were a week ago. You know, we feel like a Lancey Ramsey will be able to help us, be able to go some, which gives us more size mm-hmm. at the four spot. And I think when you're playing a team like South Carolina yeah. with their size and their ability to rebound it, that's going to be critical.
Mentality-wise, and we'll get to the Arkansas, the home opener for the SEC in a minute, coming up on Sunday, which is a big game as well. But to open against, as I said, you know, a power in the sport, do you like that? Do you like right off the bat in the SEC being tested on the road? Do you think the players are embracing that as opposed to maybe opening at home or opening up maybe against a lesser opponent in conference play? Is this matchup something that the players are embracing and the challenge that that it presents?
You know, I think it's fun to be able to open on the road. It's fun to be able to open with the challenge. You know on the road in the SEC how difficult it is, and you've got 8 of those, and you know, we might as well kick it off right, you know, and mm-hmm. put ourselves in a position to go steal one of those on the road from the get-go. And, you know, we've been fortunate to defend our house pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's time to take it on the road. And, you know, we feel like a couple of experiences that we had in the preseason will prepare us for this.
You mentioned their size. And at times, you know, you watch them play and no matter if they're shooting it well or not, they can just bully people and they can just keep the ball batted around until they eventually get it in the basket. You mentioned having a good plan, and I know you will, but when you're playing a team that big and that physical, from a schematic standpoint, how do you have to approach that? Because you can play well deep into the shot clock and you can defend them well, and then they just get 2 and 3, 4 offensive rebounds until they get the basket. What, you know, how do you try to counter that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have our box out responsibilities and a game plan with that that sometimes I think people may not think of, but we'll double a couple of them off the defensive glass and try and protect, you know, and, you know, send our guards. We're going to double a little bit inside, and you know how you'll double whenever you catch offensively. Mm-hmm. We're going to double the glass as well and see if that can help us some. And, you know, I think, honestly, you know, Troy was one of the best rebounding teams in the country
mm-hmm.
from a numbers standpoint. So that game right before this game, certainly some areas of improvement we need to take away from that game that can lead into this game. And you've just got to rebound at all 5 spots. And again, that's nothing about skill. That's just a will.
Yeah.
We've got to do a really nice job of being fundamental, you know, and disciplined on the box out and make some contact. So, You know, we need to give them one-shot opportunities. We need to defend from the inside out. They're much improved, Gary, from the three this year, which is intriguing. Mm-hmm. So we've got to do a really good job, though, of making them shoot over us contested shots and not get good looks at the rim.
All right, obviously this is kind of coaching 101, but you can't have, you know, you can't have a chance to win if you're not in the game going into the fourth quarter. Like you said, you had success last year, had a chance against them here. I assume that, you know, you just have to try to find a way to stay in the game because they are capable, as we've seen against many teams, of burying people early if you don't play your best. So I know you want to just find a way to tough it out and give yourself a chance heading into the fourth quarter.
No doubt, be there late, you know, and put ourselves in a position. We spend a lot of time on special situations in late game and two-for-ones. And so if we can take care of the basketball, make sure that we're executing on the offensive end and don't take quick bad shots and can, you know, have the ball change sides of the floor. Just as much as we talk about what we need to do on the defensive glass, we've got to do the same on the offensive end of taking good shots and making sure that we manage the clock. You have to manage the clock against someone of their talent and their explosiveness in transition. You take quick shots that often leads to layups on the other end. So we've got to do a really good job of going in there and executing on both sides of the ball. And I'm excited. This group competes. You know, they've not shied away from one challenge all year, and I'm just excited to go in and watch them compete.
Last year, you had a group of experienced players that you had such incredible leadership on that team. Leadership-wise, have some leaders developed? Have some players stepped forward to kind of, you know, and I'm not necessarily talking about just from a basketball standpoint, but I'm talking about from just a leadership standpoint. Have you started seeing that develop on this team?
Absolutely. You know, Jessica Timmons, Carly Weathers, Essence Cody, you know, it's their turn, and they have some phenomenal leaders in front of them. So association brings on assimilation, I always say, and man, those three have really stepped up. They're willing to, you know, be such a great example with their work ethic, with their voice. But I've also seen a lot of growth in Diana Collins. You know, I think your point guard has to be an extension of your staff. She's done a phenomenal job with that. You know, Naomi Jones has stepped up lately. She's extremely vocal. So it's got to come by committee, but I could not be prouder of Carly Weathers and Jess Timmons and how they've led the way.
Outstanding. All right, regardless of what happens tomorrow, you come home for the weekend and you have your SEC home opener on Sunday at 2 o'clock against Arkansas. And I know you've worked so hard since you've been here, not only to improve the product on the floor and be much more competitive, and you've done that, and NCAA tournament caliber team now every year, but to build to build the fan base and to get the excitement to support the program. And you've done that to a great degree. And Sunday will be an opportunity for these fans to rally around this team and give Alabama that SEC home court advantage that everyone craves in this league.
No doubt. You know, our men play Kentucky on Sunday. Mm-hmm. We get a chance to play Arkansas on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We play on Sunday. What a great home, you know, weekend for basketball at Alabama. And we need folks to come out and support this team. They've worked extremely hard to put themselves in a position, and you know, we really truly believe that, you know, it's an amazing, it gives you a 10-point advantage when you have a great home crowd.
Sure.
Plus, hey, it's alumni day. We've got Coach Moody will be in the house, and you know, I think over 40 plus alums are coming back, so it should be a really special day for Alabama basketball.
And one thing I will mention too, and we don't get too far ahead of ourselves, but I guess it's a blessing and a curse, but you draw South Carolina twice, which means that you do get another crack at them. Again, regardless what happens tomorrow, you get them at your place later on this season in February. So that, I think that's pretty cool that they got to come here.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, they all 16 count the same. And, you know, we're just trying to get them one at a time. Mm-hmm. And we're excited for that opportunity when they do come back to our place.
All right, Coach. Appreciate the time as always. Good luck tomorrow. And, again, for the fans that are out there, Sunday afternoon, kind of, you know, before we get back into the regular routine as we get into a new year, you know, pack out Coleman and because regardless of hopefully you're 1-0 coming in, but you want to be at worst 1-1 if you do lose tomorrow. You want to get that win on Sunday, and I know the fans will rally around you. Thank you so much, Coach.
Thanks for having us on, Gary, and Happy New Year to everybody. Roll Tide.
Happy New Year. Coach Christy Curry joining us here. Alabama tomorrow against South Carolina at 1. That's ahead of the Rose Bowl, so you can not have to worry about interfering with the game. And then Arkansas on Sunday at home. All right, we're going to take a time out. Before we do, though, I want to talk to you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health. Because, listen, men, and I know I'm 61. That's why I went to see them at Game Day Men's Health, because you know, if you're dealing with fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, weight gain, these just aren't everyday annoyances. They can be signs your body needs support. At Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get into the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. What can you expect from Game Day Men's Health, tailored men's health plans? How about boosted energy levels, improved motivation and mood, deeper, more restful sleep, reduced belly fat, stronger workouts, and faster muscle recovery, which is huge, and natural hair regrowth support. It's easy to find. They're located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa, right off McFarland Boulevard. Turn right there by the Whataburger. They're right up the road there. And great facility, great staff. Get out of the daily rut that you may be dealing with. Men of all ages are welcome. That's Game Day Men's Health in Tuscaloosa.
Now, this hour's West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here's the Tuscaloosa Thread headline. Some Republicans, like Bibb County Senator April Weaver, want to expand the death penalty. But Tuscaloosa Democrat Representative Chris England wants to allow voters to decide if we should execute at all.
It would be pertinent for us to decide overall whether or not we want to continue executing people.
The legislative session begins January 13th at Campsite.
The lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meat and Three special. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m., get a meat and three vegetables for just $8.49. Or for a lighter appetite, try the Lucky Lunch soup, salad, or sandwich combo. I'll see you at the Free.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and...
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside
on Marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7000. 7200 or click on advertise with us on our website.
Stay locked in, Tide fans. This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes.
Chase, you're killing it today, man. What a tune. I bet you Orlando loves that song. Is there anybody that doesn't like that song, Orlando? What a groove.
No, not a soul in the world. Not a soul on this universe. No.
If you don't like that one, there's something wrong with you. D. Orlando Ledbetter is with us. Falcons beat writer, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.com, and one of the best in the business. And Orlando moving up today, a day early since tomorrow's New Year's. We appreciate it. Plus, he's got Raheem Morris's press conference coming up in just a little bit, so we're not going to keep him too long. But, Raheem, what in the world is going on with the Atlanta Falcons? The last 3 weeks after they got bombed against Seattle at home, they look like a real football team, man. Too little, too late, but what in the world is going on?
Yeah, I think, you know, people realizing that, hey, their jobs are on the line. They should have been coming out fighting like this from the beginning. And then maybe even some better game plans here. You know, they found a way to take away McBride and then Puka, but they couldn't come up with a game plan to stop Bryce Young. He threw for record yards against them. So I think all around the board, people are realizing that, hey, you know, we don't get to stay together if we don't start winning. And we're seeing some better efforting on all parties involved.
Against the Rams, who I still think are you know, they've lost some tough games, games they probably feel like they should have won, but I still think they're one of the most talented teams, one of the most well-balanced teams. Stafford has tailed off a little bit, but that's a quality win, particularly when it had Super Bowl vibes. When you're up 21-0, the next thing you know, I'm watching that game saying the Falcons are going to blow this game. And they almost blew it even after they took the late field goal. They're very fortunate the Rams didn't hit. First of all, the first down play, the guy had a touchdown if Stafford connects with him, and the Nacua catch was overruled. But the Falcons got that win. Robinson went crazy. That's the kind of, or is that the kind of win that you can hang your hat on for next year? Does it, or is in the NFL, once the season's over, it's over? Is there anything that from this little run that the Falcons can carry over to next season?
Well, just the mentality that the learning how to win, that somebody stepped up and made a play. Even though, you know, they did leave some receivers open there at the end, that could have went the other way. And Devontae Adams, if he's running that route, he probably figures out how to catch it. He wasn't in the game. But, yeah, you saw earlier in the season where they had leads and nobody stepped forward to make the play. You know, four times, the Jets, the Colts, the Bucks. And this game, people were trying to make plays, within the scheme and so forth. So, you know, learning how to win is the real thing. And so moving forward, you hope that that's the lesson that they can take forward. That, hey, you know, we have to learn how to win some games. And they're starting to figure it out when they're meaningless games, but not in their eyes.
Yeah, I'm with you. For Raheem, has he done enough? You've said many times on here that Arthur Blank really thinks a lot of him. Has he done enough to return in 2026, or do you think all that's going to be evaluated after the season?
Yeah, they're still going to evaluate it, but I think, when you look at it, they're going to probably be 7-9 or 8-9 with the same record last year, but haven't made major strides on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, they regress. And, you know, when you go to a young quarterback, that could happen. So, what's the plan for the offense moving forward? Keep building the defense, and you got to blow up the special teams. So that might be enough to save his job, but not some of the other people on the coaching staff.
All right. This game Sunday is a rivalry game. And the Falcons are going for the sweep of the Saints. The Saints, a team much like the Falcons, they found their rhythm. I think Kellen Moore's done a really good job with that team. And, you know, now they're getting good quarterback play. It's not going to be easy, but it would leave a bad taste in everybody's mouth if the Saints come in there to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and get that win on Sunday. That's not the way you want to go into the offseason with an L, is it?
No doubt about it. Not against your rival. End of season, loss cost Coach Arthur Smith his job. So, that could be in play. It got ugly down there that year. Arthur going off on Coach Allen after the game. That could certainly, everything's in play. When you got 8 straight losing seasons, you got to look around every nook and corner. A lot of it be who's available if you dump, if you start over from scratch. You know, we're chasing the Matt Ryan rumors about him being in a front office role. When you lose 8 straight losings and, you're not showing a lot of progress, then everything should be on the table.
The matchup Sunday between two hot teams, because Cousins is playing well. Does it come down to quarterback play ultimately here? What are the keys?
No doubt. I think, Shuck is coming off a 200-300-yard game. Mm-hmm. They found something. He found something with Olave and Juwan Johnson. Just got a little bit in the running game from Stimmy. I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, but the kid ran for 94 yards last week. So they found something to work, which, is great. You got an offensive coach. So they got that. Defensively, not having DeMario Davis would mean that Bijan is free. so we see what that looks like. So it's not a quarterback game for the Falcons. It's how much you can get out of Bijan. Kurt is managing stuff again. Now he's back in his managing stuff days. And it's pretty much get the ball to Bijan at this point. And whatever you get from Pitts in London, it's all gravy.
All right. right, let me ask you about Cousins and Penix, because I think the assumption is that Cousins won't be back next year. But we've seen him play lately the way that the Falcons hoped he would have played the entire tenure when they signed him, that mega contract. And you and I have discussed it before. Penix is coming off a third ACL surgery, two on one knee, one on the other. He's older than the average quarterback for his class. Is there any thought process that Penix might not be the future? And would the Falcons consider bringing Cousins back for one more year? What does Atlanta stand in the quarterback room?
Yeah, it's, you know, if these the administration stays the same, Penix is the quarterback moving forward.
Okay.
If it does not, then, you know, everything's back on the table. Kurt, you really can't bring him back at the salary cap number, and you could save about $30 million by cutting him. The number's pretty high, 57.5. You know, that's a lot of chunk money for a quarterback that you can maybe use for three or four games. So if they can't find anything, they can hold on to Kurt. But if they can find a plausible alternative to Penix and think he's going to be back at 9 months or 12, which would be, you know, the end of September, then you go ahead and move forward. But they think he's their quarterback. They're not ready to throw in the towel on him. He's got to get healthy, mm-hmm. and they think they can continue to build around him and move forward with him.
Yeah.
But if things change, everything's back on the table at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I like that plan. I still think he's a quality player if he can stay healthy. Although we've seen Orlando a lot now, the resale market in NFL, we've seen it come to fruition many times with guys. You think you don't have a quarterback, but there's always somebody out there, it seems like now, who was a high draft pick that washed out somewhere else that if given a second opportunity. So the second dairy quarterback market in the NFL is live and well. So there are a lot of guys out there that are going to be looking for jobs.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think they don't want to go to that market unless, you know, they get to 27 mm-hmm. and find out that Michael Penix isn't very good. Then, you know, Baker Mayfield can be free. Some of the other high draft picks here, J.J. McCarthy has, established himself in Minnesota. But the other four in that draft have be in the playoffs. You know, and Jaden that went last year before getting hurt. So Drake May's the talk of the town right now. Caleb's doing his thing in Chicago. And Bo Nix has Denver at the number one seed. So that was the quarterback class mm-hmm. from 2004. And, by 27, it's going to look a little different. So there'll be some people available at that time.
All right, before we let you go, the NFL is getting everything that it wants. You've got two pseudo playoff games with the AFC North with the Ravens and the Steelers, the NFC South with the Panthers and the Bucks. You've got, the bye and number one seed in the NFC with the 49ers and the Seahawks. But a crazy little tidbit here for the NFC South, this wacky division that could have a team without a winning record win the division. Even if the Panthers lose on Saturday in Tampa Bay because of the Falcons' recent success, if the Falcons beat the Saints on Sunday, Carolina is the NFC West champion regardless.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a three-way tie. Actually, the Panthers, Bucks, and Falcons would be the champs.
I've
been arguing with one of my readers about that. And the tiebreaker goes to Carolina on their two wins over the Falcons and split with Tampa Bay. They got a 3-1. The Falcons got 2-2. And the same thing with the Panthers. So they would take the tiebreaker and go into the playoffs and probably play the Rams team that is going to end up probably in five. So a 4-5 game. But, yeah, we've seen a losing team go to the playoffs before and do damage.
That's right.
Seattle Saints game there.
Yep.
No earthquake game. So it can happen. And that's where we're looking. It could happen this year again.
Yeah, of course, the Panthers are hoping just to win that game in Tampa, have a winning record, and not have to worry about what happens on Sunday. But it's wild stuff in the NFL. And now, real quickly, Orlando, they're talking about possibility of adding an 18th game. Is that realistic?
Yeah, I mean, that's the blueprint right now. They've got the three exhibition games that they don't do anything with anyway. Might as well get it started. They've expanded the practice squads now. So, you know, you got more players at your disposal, but you got to play them. So I'm thinking, you know, these coaches that, you know, don't use the deep end of their roster, they're going to be tired by the end of the season. But the coaches that, you know, get the most out of their rosters, use their fourth, fifth, sixth linebackers, their wide receivers, your backup linemen, you hopefully got some room for some backup linemen. You know, those are teams that are going to be successful in the 18-game season.
Man, appreciate it as always. Get to your press conference and let everybody know real quickly how they can get all your information.
Sure, no problem, Gary. Thanks. And you can find me on Twitter at AJC, D'Orlando AJC. Our website is AJC.com. Today was our last print newspaper, so we're all digital now.
And wow.
Got a good price on that. Yeah, so it's new era at the AJC, and you can find me at AJC.com.
I'm a little sad about that, but it's the world we live in. Thank you, Orlando.
All right, Gary, take care. Have a great one.
Appreciate it. All right, 10:29 here on the Gary Harris Show. The YMCA is ready for you in 2026. All you got to do is get down there and get joined up and become a part of a great community, great place to work out, terrific facility, great staff. Jeff Knox, the CEO, and his people do an incredible job. Personal training second to none. Don't put it off anymore. Get there. 2026 is the time. It is ready and waiting for you at the YMCA. The Y is ready for you when you're ready for the Y. 2300 13th Street downtown. Find out more at YMCATuscaloosa.org. All right, listen, folks, I know we had a couple people call in that we weren't able to take. 205-342-9904. We're wide open for phone calls the rest of the show, and also going to get to some Ty Simpson audio from yesterday out in Los Angeles. The Gary Harris Show, New Year's Eve edition, rolls on from Tuscaloosa, T-Town, City of Champions, right after this.
Brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. For all your sporting good needs, for all your team gear needs, check out academy.com or visit one of their many locations all across the South.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept, Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m., available for after-hours event.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour
special. It's easy and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm-up today with a sunny sky and a high 51. Tonight clear, not as cold as recent nights, the low 32. For tomorrow, sunny with a high at 58. And Friday, cloudy with a chance of developing showers during the day, the high at 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 38 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Very superstitious. All right, 10:34. That was fun. It's New Year's Eve, man. I'm in a good mood. I'm celebrating. Like I said, I'm staying out of the riff. You know, the rigmarole tonight, amateur night, other people can have it. But I'm going to enjoy today. I'm excited for the game tomorrow. And I'm excited to take some phone calls here in this segment, 205-342-9904. We got Ty Simpson audio ready from Los Angeles yesterday that we can get to maybe before the show's over, but we're not going to do that at the expense of our callers. We got Franny, and then we got Cowboy. Hey, Franny, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing
Happy
great.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Franny.
Yeah. I wanted to give you a little lesson on the Bills right quick, because this is their last game in the stadium.
It sure is.
They were bought in 1960 for $25,000 by Ralph Wilson.
How about that?
and played in the old rock pile until 72, War Memorial Stadium, and then they moved into what was Ridge Stadium in 73.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's changed sponsors and all of that and names, but that's been the same stadium all the way through. But what you may not know, Lamar Hunt and Ralph Wilson in 1959 went down to Miami, and the AFL needed one more franchise. And Ralph spoke to the guy that owned the Orange Bowl, and he said, "These semi-pro leagues never work. No, thank you." So he went to his best friend in 1959 and said, "Write five names of a city on a piece of paper and pick one." And the one he picked was Orchard Park, New York. I don't know why, because I was born there, and Ralph was actually from Detroit.
Yeah, he was. So
he had no connection to New York, but I'm awfully grateful he did. I know he was in the automotive business, and he said to his father one day, "I am going to own an NFL team at a Detroit Lions game," so you just never know.
Wow. Isn't that sense? It's a great story.
But it's a great fan base, and the Bills Mafia's gotten so big it's turned into a charity organization, and they do a lot of good things for people and everything. But I feel good about Alabama tomorrow. Indiana's a good team, but Alabama is too, and it should be a really good game.
It should be. I agree with everything you said. Indiana's a really good team, but so is Alabama. And yeah. Alabama's got a history in big games, so I'm with you. I think it's going to be a really entertaining football game. But that's a great story, because I've always kind of – I'm not a Bills fan, but I always enjoyed growing up in the 70s, you know, watching the AFC – and NBC had the AFC package. CBS had the NFC package. I was a huge – football fan, NFL fan. I couldn't wait till Sundays to watch the pregame shows. But a lot of my favorite games were watching Buffalo at home against the Patriots, against the Jets. You know, Joe Ferguson, Joe DeLamalur, Reggie McKenzie, the Electric Company offensive line. You remember those teams well. You know, they had some really good teams in the 70s. They couldn't get over the hump. Obviously had O.J. Simpson, you know, running for 2,000 yards in 1973. And then in the 80s, when Cornelius Bennett went to Buffalo, that's when I really, you know, I wanted the Bulls, the Bills to win a Super Bowl so bad. And, you know, they should have won that first one. And granted, the other three got away from them, but they flat out should have beat the Giants. They were better than the Giants, and, you know, they let it get away from them. Scott Norwood missed that field goal. But
may I add something real quick?
Sure.
Three of the Buffalo Bills live behind my grandmother.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Paul Seymour was a tight end on the Electric Company. And he lived in
the house. I remember Paul Seymour. Yeah, sure
do. My grandmother, and they were really good friends. And I used to sit with the St. Bernard named Bernie all the time.
Wow. How about that?
Small world. But they, by the way, Buffalo won the AFL in 64 and 65, and they lost to the Chiefs in 66, or they would have been the one to play the Packers in the first Super Bowl.
Yep, sure would have. And the Dallas Texans were actually the Kansas City Chiefs for the Dallas Texans before they were the Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of people don't know that. Don't realize that with the AFL and what it brought. Of course, you know, I could go on and on about pro football. I love pro football, particularly from that era. We don't have time to, but I would encourage people who are an NFL fans to go back and research the 60s and the 70s and research what, you know, Joe Namath and that Jets victory meant for pro football. It forced the merger, and it was just a great time. Man, pro football was awesome. And go back and watch how the quarterbacks got hit in those days, Franny. Nothing like today now. Man, they were hey, it was free game on the quarterbacks, whether you were a mobile or not. They took some shots, but
I saw Joe Ferguson get laid out a few times.
He got hit. He took a lot. He was a tough guy. Joe Ferguson, Arkansas Razorback, was a tough quarterback.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm gonna do. I need to just do a pro football podcast. I love pro football. All right, let's get the Cowboy. I know he likes pro football too. He lives out there in Dallas. So how about them Cowboys? Boy, Trayvon, bad day to be a Diggs brother yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, they cut him.
Yeah, they cut Trayvon and Stephon's and all kinds of legal hot water.
Yeah.
You know why they cut Trayvon, don't you?
Battery. Yeah, he stayed back on Christmas.
Yeah, kind of feels, kind of sounds like he pitched the fit a little bit about, you know, wanting to stay Schottenheimer wasn't having it. But anyway, he gets a chance maybe now to catch on with a good team.
Yeah. Hey, I want to compliment Franny's call there. I always kind of wondered, I'm a big AFC fan growing up. I don't know why. I guess they had more Alabama players, and my father had me watching that, Kurt Gowdy. But that was a great call by Franny. I always wondered what the rock pile was, and that was the home of the Bills.
Yeah, how about that? That's you and me both. Yeah. We're both big NFL 70 fans and football NFL fans from the 70s and 60s, and that was a great story he had. It really, really is.
Yeah, appreciate that call. You know, Gary, today is the last day for a great sports analysis commentator. It's his last call. We need to give Odage what a professional he was, what a great announcer. Gary Danielson, a great Detroit Lion, played in the WFL, the World Football League quarterback. You know, today's his last call, the Sun Bowl. I've been out there at the stadium once. I was in El Paso. It's a pretty neat place. It's in a rock cavity. But, you know, Gary Danielson was a great analysis. I know a lot of Alabama people didn't necessarily like him, but I thought he
I always thought he did a good job, too. Cowboy, I'm in the same boat that you are. I thought he got a lot of criticism that was unwarranted. He knows the game. I thought he pointed out a lot of things. And, you know, like any announcer, you know, you watched him every week on the CBS Game of the Week. There, occasionally they're going to get on your nerves, or they're going to say something you don't agree with.
Right.
But I thought he did a good job, and I miss, as I've said before, I know the college football is about money and inventory and all, but I miss the SEC Game of the Week on CBS. I loved that 2:30 time slot. I knew it was coming every Saturday. I knew it was going to be a special game. It was exclusive to CBS, and anyway, I still miss it. I know they got tons of games on ABC and ESPN and all that every Saturday, but I miss that one window of 2:30 being on CBS. Don't you?
Yeah, I miss it. But, you know, I kind of like, you know, we have a more modern way of being able to see games, and CBS didn't want to televise a night game. I think that's what eventually cost them, and then they kind of gave in later on. Do a few games in with their new Big Ten package. Mm-hmm. I think they do show some night games. But, you know, every Saturday I'll flip over there just to hear Nestler and now in the last couple of years, Nestler and Danielson call a game because I just love their voice, you know. And I really miss Vern. Oh, my goodness. And Vern, you know, he was awesome. I met him out here at the Symphony one night in Dallas. This guy's right next to me, kind of clapping, and just, man, bravo, bravo. And I looked, it was Vern Lundquist. I talked to him in the during the intermission, and he was awesome. You know where the first time I saw Vern Lundquist call a game was, Gary?
No idea.
He called a Troy State game in the late 70s or early 80s. And they were playing a playoff game, I believe.
Yeah, I would have been the Division II playoffs in those days.
Yeah, and I told Vern about that, and he remembered it. Him and Steve Davis, the old Oklahoma quarterback.
Yeah, Steve Davis was good.
They called that game.
Yeah, I remember watching some of those Division II playoffs. I remember West Alabama, then Livingston had a nice little run, and I remember one of their games. I can't remember who it was against, but I think Lee Grosscup was on the call.
Yeah.
And Yeah. Good times, man.
Remember the old Amos Alonzo Stag Bowl in Phoenix City?
Very well. I was just such
Did
a football fan. I would watch it all, dude. And I remember I would watch all the coaches' shows I could watch. You know, quick story, when we moved to Cleburne County, the Bill Battle Show would come on WBRC every Sunday morning. I think it was at 9:30. And even though, obviously, I was an Alabama fan, but I couldn't wait to watch the Bill Battle Show because it was more football. And the Bart Starr Show, when he was coaching the Packers, would come on Channel 13 in Birmingham because of the connections to the state. And so you could get to watch the Bart Starr Show. And then later in life, when I was remember when, you know, before the internet and all that, ESPN during the weekdays would have a segment where they would just show coaches shows from all over the country. Do you remember that in the 80s? They would show the different, and I loved watching all those, because again, people don't relate now with the internet. Everything's at the tip of your fingers, but you and I grew up in an era where, and I remember the newsletters that used to come out from every, you know, I would, when I was working in Mississippi.
The Dixie pick, what was that thing you'd pick up at restaurants?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Pick a Dixie or whatever. And
it was a golden piece of paper. Yeah. That was good stuff.
And when I was working in Mississippi, we subscribed to all of those, the Ole Miss Spirit and Bama Inside the Crimson Tide and Dog Bite or whatever it was, you know, and I couldn't wait because, you know, they would update those letters after the game, and then they get them out to you, and you get them by like Tuesday or Wednesday, and I just read the heck out of that. But anyway, good times. It's a different time now.
You remember that paper in the 70s, late 70s, the SEC Sports Journal, Ben Cook was the editor.
Ben Cook was great. And of course, obviously on the radio, couldn't wait to watch or listen to Leonard's Losers. And anyway, great times, man.
When Kalen DeBoer and his pachyderms invade the Rose Bowl Stadium against Kurt Cignetti and his Indiana.
Oh, you're right. It was, nobody could do it like Leonard Post-Toasty. So, and they, you know, be like,
get me out of here, Percy.
Alabama at Georgia. Coach Paul Bryan and those beastly pachyderms are going to invade the dog pound on Saturday afternoon. But Vince Dooley and coming, I mean, it was just the way he could, nobody, even the guy who tried to come back and do it later, it still wasn't the same, you know? So anyway, hey man, have a happy new year.
When Charlie Pell invades Jordan Hare Stadium with his giant water lizards against Pat Dye's felines.
And it was so great how we'd all, you know, because again, it was Leonard's loser. So he picked the loser. Everybody else was picking the winner, Chase. Yeah. And it would be at the end of the, and Leonard's loser in a close one, Florida. I mean, it was just, he was so good, you know?
Oh, yeah. You usually could pick up his magazine. Yeah. I know in Vestavia over there, they had it at the car wash.
Oh, yeah, man. It was good times. All right, buddy. Got to go. Good to hear. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
All right, man. We got to get to a break. More phone calls on the other side. I don't know if we're going to get to Ty Simpson or not, but that's the way it goes. But I will tell you this, lunch is right around the corner. It's a beautiful day. People out still. A lot of people aren't back to work yet. So why don't you go to Texas Roadhouse for lunch? You know why? Because they're open for lunch. They're open on their holiday schedule. So normally they're only open for lunch certain days of the week, but they're open all week long and great food. And I mean, great food. And they're open and ready to serve you. All right, we're going to come back and get Bryce on the Gary Harris Show right after this timeout on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC.
Power Equipment, Husqvarna dealers, Skag commercial mowers and residentials, Echo Outdoor
Power. It's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timberson Square.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports.
California, here we come.
The Crimson Tide, the Indiana Hoosiers, New Year's Day, the Rose Bowl.
To play top-seeded Indiana.
The road to the national title continues. Live from Pasadena, California, our coverage begins at noon. On your home for Alabama football, the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHsystem.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. a lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm-up today with a sunny sky and a high 51. Tonight clear, not as cold as recent nights, the low 32. For tomorrow, sunny with a high at 58. And Friday, cloudy with a chance of developing showers during the day, the high at 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 41 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Tide 100.9.
Wonderland. Yeah, we're having a little party in here. We don't have any party hats. We don't have any. I wish we had those little New Year's Eve, one of those little whistles you blow in that comes flying out at you. Yeah, it'd be nice. What we do have is Bryce on the hotline at 205-342-9904, following his associate up. That's a tough act to follow, right there, Bryce.
Well, you know, I want to wish you a happy and safe New Year.
Same to you.
What are some people going to do if Jalen Hurts wins another Super Bowl and Alabama wins the Natty? And I'm going to leave it at that, buddy.
All right.
What are some people going to do?
That's it. Well, if that happens, I hope they don't call in and attack me. I don't have anything to do with it. You know what I mean?
I just had to let you share that with you. You know, I don't know what the future will hold if that happens. You know.
Well, it's probably a long shot for both those things to happen, but both of them have a shot. So we will see. What else is going on? You got big plans for the? You going to be at a watch party? You going to watch it at home? What are your plans for the game tomorrow?
I have to work. I'll watch it after you know, the replay of it.
However, man, you're gonna miss the game.
Yeah, but you know that's what they make. I'll listen to it. Oh, and one other thing: when's the basketball team play again?
They're gonna play Saturday at 11 a.m. at home against Kentucky. Big one.
What's Jeff from the Borough? Has he been kind of quiet, or is he?
He's become a really good caller. He doesn't call in and scream anymore. He's been real. He hadn't brought it up too much. Now if Kentucky wins, I'm sure I'll hear from him on Monday. But he's been good.
Is there any chance of the guy from Bangladesh? I can't think of his name right now. AC might be a person that we know, and because of the way they both dislike the road.
No,
guy.
I don't think AC is an alias for someone else. I think AC is AC.
It's just that they have so much in common, you know. I had to leave with it. What's your prediction, Gary?
I got a 24-22 Alabama. I'm saying, you know, just for fun's sake, I'm saying Talty kicks a game-ending field goal, and Alabama wins it 24-22.
Well, hey, they couldn't write that up no better. I look for 34-24.
I hear you, my friend. I hope your prediction's right. I hope it doesn't come down to a last-second field goal. I hope Bama's able to take care of business. But, boy, I sure hope they bring it home.
If we don't turn the ball over, and last time we was out there at the Rose Bowl, we had some unfinished business that we need to take care of. And we don't turn the ball over and beat anybody, Gary. And that's at all the games that we lost is because we turned the ball over. How do you see Ole Miss and Georgia?
You know, I'm going to tell you, Georgia, I can't pick against Georgia, Bryce. I mean, Ole Miss, you know, scored their first five possessions in Athens and was in good shape in that game. And in the fourth quarter, Georgia took control. And at some point, I think Ole Miss, they got six coaches coaching that are going to be going to LSU. I just think it's too much of a hump for Ole Miss to get over. I got Georgia in that one.
He's not ready for the spotlight Pete Golden is, and I think Kirby it'll show how much better coach he is. And I think Texas Tech bubble's going to get busted because they haven't really played anybody and impressed me all year.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either if Miami won that game. I'm with you. Wouldn't surprise me one bit.
And I'm thinking Ohio State's going to prevail because
I mean, Oregon. I go to Oregon. I misspoke. Yeah, I think Ohio State will beat Miami, but I think Oregon will beat Texas Tech. I'm with you there.
Right, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
But that's what I see, you know, those moving on to the next round. But, Gary, I appreciate you letting me talk. And like I said, y'all have a safe and happy New Year. You and – is Wyatt out there or is he out there? Who's out there on your crew for
Wyatt? Months? Yeah, we had him on earlier this morning. In fact,
I thought I heard him.
Yeah, yeah. Wyatt is definitely on and out there, and he'll be live at 1 o'clock on his show today too. So, all right, Bryce. Well, have a happy New Year, buddy.
All right. What time do you say the basketball game is starting?
11 o'clock. It's gonna be early.
Is it gonna be televised?
Yeah, I think it's ESPN. Is that right, Chase? Yeah, ESPN.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate y'all letting me talk.
All right. Thank you, Bryce. Appreciate it. Happy New Year. All right. Before we get out of here, I want to say Happy New Year to all of you. All of our listeners, not just for my show, but all the Tide shows, and we appreciate you, and I can tell you for sure I do. I enjoy doing this show. I've been doing it for over 10 years. I don't make a ton of money off of it. You know, it's not my main job, but I do it because I enjoy it, and I enjoy the interaction with all of you. And I mean that. And I couldn't, you know, I've always said from the time I started this show, 9 to 11, kind of a unique time for sports talk, and it was going to be a content-driven show. But through the years, it's become more of a caller-driven show. And it's like today, we wanted to get to Ty Simpson. We really did. But we couldn't because it was so busy. And we had to get to our calls, and I like that. But I do really honestly, even if you're a regular caller, if you just call occasionally, or if you listen and don't call, I appreciate every one of you. You know, it would be no fun to do this show if I just felt like I was doing it by myself, and I certainly appreciate Chase's help and all the people here at Tide. But have a very blessed New Year's Eve. Have a great New Year's, and we'll be back on Friday, hopefully talking about a victory Friday, a Bama win in the Rose Bowl. But enjoy your New Year's Day. Enjoy a break from everything. Get ready for a great 2026. The Miller's Edge is coming up next. Talk to you again on Friday, everybody.